The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. Rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose at same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In our text today from Luke 24, the disciples were somewhat perplexed, but we should not be too hard on them for not seeing and recognizing Jesus, for it says their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. So the question before us this morning is, who sees Jesus? Which is our theme. My fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus. We see Jesus as we study his word, which is our first point. We don't have to look very long or hard to see many fallacies when it comes to such things as spiritual growth or understanding and seeing Jesus. Cults continue to rise up which think they are Christian when they really are not, because people blindly follow the personality of the leader instead of confessing Christ Jesus. And Jesus gave us a warning about that when he said, "In the last days, many false prophets and false Christs will arise. Beware, don't be misled. I have told you in advance." Many people today are interested in religion per se, but don't have the foggiest idea of what Christianity is about. We pick it up at verse 18 of the text. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you," speaking here to Jesus, "are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and are unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" Kind of reminds me of someone who returns home after a natural disaster, such as when the derecho occurred 2.5 years ago, and asking a similar question. "Did you know what happened?" And really, you know, there were many people in other parts of our country that knew absolutely nothing of the derecho, just because, you know, when everything's knocked down and TV can't do what TV tries to do. Some people really enjoy engaging in religious discussions. And that's what we see going on here with the disciples in the text. It says, "And they were conversing with each other about all these things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them." But in the midst of their discussion, they remained puzzled. Some people like to talk about religion. For the baptized in Christ Jesus, it's not enough to talk about religion or to share our thoughts about Jesus. We actually need to proclaim Christ Jesus and what the Bible says of him. And our message needs to include the why he came into this world. This past Monday and Tuesday, in those first pews there, when I had chapel with the Little Lambs preschool, We talked about the cross. But then I asked the question, well, why did Jesus have to come? And it was great to see many of the kids respond, basically was saying, because of our sins. You see, a lot of the world, the Christian world, is going to leave that out. But you and I needed someone to deal with our sin and with our rebellion. Rebellion against a holy and a just God. And Jesus came to redeem all people from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And he accomplished that through his suffering, death, and resurrection. Christ Jesus has already been revealed to us through God's word. We have been given the word of God to point and to lead us to Christ Jesus. Now the disciples, they could have dug a little deeper into the word of God, just as you and I need to be digging deeper into the word of God each day of our lives, so that we can refute those people who challenge or mock or ridicule that which we believe, teach, and confess. Jesus chides these disciples for their shallowness of understanding. He does the same with us. To them, he said, O foolish men and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Have we grown in our understanding of what it means to be a baptized child of God or not? Can we adequately give a defense for the hope that is within us or not? Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. Jesus is referring to the Old Testament, which proclaims the person and work of Christ Jesus. Those Emmaus disciples, they had the Old Testament scriptures, which pointed forward to the promised one, the Messiah, who would crush the head of Satan. Job had said of Jesus, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last day he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold. And they had the wonderful words of Isaiah 53, where the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus is pictured. But they, and like us so often, didn't grasp the meaning of it. We too can be guilty of a shallow faith, a poor understanding of God's word. We can skim over the scriptures and fail to see and find comfort in all those wonderful promises in the Old Testament that talk about God bringing salvation to the world through his Son. The Lord spoke through Isaiah and said this to us, I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Who sees Jesus leads to our second point. We see Jesus as we know and understand his work on our behalf. It is a sad commentary on the church at large. When you see and hear of preachers and churches portraying Jesus as a political and social activist, the supreme champion of the oppressed, an avowed environmentalist, and the list could go on and on. The church is called to preach and proclaim the truth why Christ Jesus came in the first place, to be the savior from sin. When sin becomes outdated and you don't believe in it anymore, well, then why do you need a savior? The church becomes irrelevant when it strays from God's word and no longer preaches law and gospel and fails to call people to repentance for their sins. That's what the church has been given to do. But there's the other kingdom, where we as citizens are called to be concerned about the rights of others, to be involved in working for just causes. However, if the church loses its focus of proclaiming Christ Jesus, then the devil has succeeded. The one message for all people of all time is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, Jesus was also a mighty prophet. These Emmaus disciples recognize that about Him. But then they go on to say, but we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. They wanted liberation from the Romans. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. Had they not been listening to what Jesus had been teaching about His upcoming death upon the cross? How often does the word fall on deaf ears and we fail to gladly learn and keep it? Our account in Luke is after Jesus had been put to death on the cross for the sins of all people as the once and for all payment. It had culminated in a tomb where the stone was rolled away and Jesus had risen. And then Jesus poses this question: was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory? And then John would write, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Who sees Jesus is answered in the reality that believers see Jesus, which is our final point. The Emmaus disciples were brought to the realization that this was Jesus who was walking and talking with them. It says, and their eyes were opened and they recognized Him and He vanished from their sight. Faith, as we know, is a gift of God. God works it and gives it to people for the sake of His Son, Jesus. And then these wonderful words. I would have loved to have been there when this happened. And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in the Scriptures. It is with the eyes of faith that we see Jesus as our Savior, as the one who has conquered death for us. As Paul writes, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. We know what we have been given in Christ Jesus, namely the forgiveness of all of our sins and eternal life as His gift to us. John says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. We can rejoice that by faith we see Jesus as our Savior. May God move each of us forward this day, as Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In Jesus' name and completed work of salvation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.